I wanted to draw your attention to some thoughts from Exodus chapter 30. So if you would turn there, I want to read one verse from James chapter 5 and verse 16, which is very brief. It says, "Pray one for another." We've gathered here tonight to pray. And the Bible encourages us specifically to pray one for another. I have been reading through the book of Exodus during the month of December. It's such a rich and instructive book. Basically, the book of Exodus is the primer for the children of Israel. The whole book is a teaching module that reviews not only the law that was given to the Israelites, but also how God wanted to be their king and their responsibility to follow after Him and to love Him and to obey Him and His encouragements to them. And it really serves as a primer module, like kindergarten class, for these Israelites, because they were coming up out of the land of Egypt where they had very little understanding. They were coming into the promise of the new land, and God wanted to instruct them. He wanted to teach them. And one of the things that He wanted to teach them concerning was prayer, the importance of prayer. I have found, with just talking to some of my preacher friends around the country, and I email some on a regular basis. I was just talking this past few days with John Helgerson up in New Hampshire, a retired pastor. He's just turned 70 this past year, and he and I have gotten to be friends over the years. And he was saying, "Pastor Todd," he said, I meet on a regular basis with several pastors up in this region." He said, "The number one concern that they have for their congregations is that they pray." So they're very concerned that because of the spirit of the age and the materialism of the age, that we've gotten away from prayer, personal time with God. Not just corporate prayer on a Wednesday night, but just daily getting alone with God and praying for one another, as we are instructed to do in James chapter 5 and verse 16. I want you to listen to the final verses of chapter 30 as the Lord gives instruction to the Levites on how they were to make the special oil and spices that were to be used for the candlesticks that were to be lit 24/7 in the tabernacle. And it was to represent the prayers of the saints of Israel to God. Listen at verse 34. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Take unto these sweet spices, stacte, and onycha, and galbanum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense, of each shalt there be a like weight, and thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord." The word holy there means separated unto the Lord. It's His. You're not to make it for personal consumption or use. It's only to be made in the use of the temple or tabernacle worship. Verse 38, "Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from his people." There's a curse associated with making this perfume for personal use. And I began to think about that in regard to this verse in James chapter 5 and verse 16, where it says, "Pray one for another," that prayer for each other, intercessory prayer for our missionary friends, intercessory prayer for saints that we love, for family members, is the sweetest smelling perfume that we could give unto the Lord. Do you realize that Jesus Christ did not pray for Himself? The only one time that we have in the Scriptures whenever He asked the Lord that this cup should pass from Him. That's the only time that we have him making a request for himself. The rest of the time, he's praying for his disciples. He's praying for the people of Israel. He is praying for the world. Read that in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. Two thoughts come to mind. This kind of prayer, intercessory prayer, praying one for another, is the kind of prayer that is the sweetest that God hears. And you know why that's the case? Because we're not mixed into it. We're praying for somebody else. That does not mean that we ought not to pray. God is happy to hear our prayer requests. But intercessory prayer, prayer for someone else, prayer for a missionary, prayer for our children and our grandchildren, praying for the family members of our church and those outside of our church, praying for our lost and dying world. God is moved by that. Just like He was moved by the prayers of His Son as He prayed for the world, as He prayed for His disciples, as He prayed for the nation of Israel. It was intercessory prayer. And this is the kind of prayer that's mentioned here in Exodus chapter 30. It was the continuous prayer of the nation of Israel that God would work in their behalf, that He would allow them to be the right kind of nation before the other nations of the world. But they were not to take that special ointment that was used in that prayer time, in the intercessory prayers. Those candles were burning 24/7 with that incense. They were not to duplicate that and make it something for themselves to consume. Intercessory prayer steps out of our needs and thinks only of others' needs. How much intercessory prayer do we do? I'm thankful that we are a people that I believe to be a praying people. We have seen the Lord undertake in so many different ways through the years, undertaking for people, undertaking for different needs, for missionary families, for special projects the Lord has brought to our attention. And God answers those prayers, and they are like a sweet smell going up to God, and He's happy to intercede for us. Petitions for our needs will be accepted, but our pleadings for others display more of the fruits of the Spirit, more love, more faith, more brotherly kindness when we're thinking about others and praying. You know what I found to be true? The more I pray for others, the more I see God undertake for me. I found this to be true over the years. If I just consistently think of others in my prayer time with God, think about people who are ministering the gospel all around the world and pray for them, to pray for our staff members that are a part of this ministry, our teachers and all those that work, to pray for you folks, that God takes care of me. That's an amazing thing. The more unselfish we are, the more God is able to unleash His grace on us. Now, that's not why we pray for others. We don't say, I'm going to pray for more people from now on because I want more of God's grace. Well, that's, once again, it becomes selfish in that regard. But what I'm saying is, to intercede for others is a special kind of prayer that moves the heart of God. Intercessory prayer is most effective prayer. The Word of God is filled with its marvelous works. You have a mighty tool at your disposal. Have you ever picked up the wrong tool? We were doing a project not too long ago, and I was trying to nail a nail in the wall using a pair of pliers because I was too sorry to go out to my truck and get my hammer. You know how hard it is to nail a nail in the wall with a pair of pliers? Now, we were just trying to hang a picture. And I was sitting there, whack, 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 and it just didn't want to go in. So I had to go get the hammer and use that to be able to do the project right, because I then got the right tool. What tools are we using in our heavenly tool chest, and are we using them appropriately? A pair of pliers is not ideal for hammering a nail. A hammer is not a good thing to use when trying to screw a screw into a piece of wood. There's some people that try to cheat. Well, I'll hammer it halfway into the wood, and then I can screw it in from there. You're just going to bludgeon it. You're going to mess up the top of the screw. You're not going to be able to do a good job. To use a pair of pliers when you ought to be using a screwdriver. I mean, there's proper tools for proper tasks, and one of the most important tasks that we have as believers is praying one for another. I tell you how our prayer time should always begin, and this comes right out of the Word of God. Our prayer time should always begin with rejoicing in our Lord. How did the Bible say, enter His gates? How? With thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. So your prayer time ought to always begin with thanksgiving and praise to God. And then I think it's important that you always move secondly to others. Pray for others. Think and consider what they're going through and the special needs. I think about Josh and Amy, young couple. And over the past 3.5 years, we've watched both of them walk through the doors of cancer. Young people with a young child facing death, both of them. You know what they have relied upon? Obviously, the grace of God. Josh, in his letter, let me just share this with you. I never chose this trial for me or for my family or for my wife, but I'm so thankful for God allowing it in my life. It's an understatement when I say I am so grateful for my brother being a perfect transplant match, the endless support of my wife, in-laws, parents, siblings, church family, and work family. I'm thankful for friends who check up on me in a small group that has done things like helping maintain my yard, which I so desperately wanted to do myself. But he said, I'd never choose this trial, but I'm so thankful that God allowed it in my life. Now, you think about the work that God has done in those two. A work of grace to take them through that horrible trial. He's not out of the woods yet. But he has seen God move in his behalf in a remarkable way, has he not? And also in his wife, Amy, when she went through this for 2.5 years. I think it's important for us to learn to sympathize and empathize with others. Rather than keeping prayer life right to ourselves, thinking only of ourselves when we pray. Oh, Lord, I really want this. Lord, would you give it to me? That's how prayer time a lot of times goes. Give me this, give me that. I want this, I want that. Let's stop for just a moment. Do you start your prayers with thanksgiving and gratitude to God? And secondly, do you take others before His throne first? Intercessory prayer. That makes me think of one other thought. If you have grace at all and are not an intercessor, now listen to me. If you have grace at all and are not an intercessor for others, your grace must be very small. How much grace do you want? Have you ever gone to the water faucet to wash your hands and you went and hit the lever and a trickle came out and you realized the water was off? That happened to us this year. We looked out in the front yard, and out in Chris's yard, there was a geyser spewing out of his front yard over into our. I thought at first it was a sprinkler system, but it wasn't. It was our pipe on his side that broke, and all the water was going on Jonathan's truck along with all the sand and dirt, and none of it was coming through our pipes to our house. Now, that's kind of frustrating after you've lathered up with soap, okay? And you're sitting there, and it's spitting a little bit of water, and you got to try to get all that stuff off, and it's not working too well. Well, let me tell you something. Don't try to live the Christian life with just a little bit of grace. You know how to increase that grace? Stop worrying about yourself and start thinking about others, and you'll watch that grace begin to grow and God manifest Himself in so many different ways. Because then you become what God wants you to be, And that's an intercessor. And that's behind that verse in James chapter 5 and verse 16. Pray one for another. And if I'm praying for you, and you're praying for others, and others are praying for others, then God can manifest His grace in a very powerful way.